Funding for The Spark is provided by Capital Blue Cross, focused on creating a healthier future for our communities through innovations like Capital Blue Cross Connect Health and Wellness Centers, which provide in-person services and inspire healthy living. Learn more at capitalbluecross.com. The Spark is also supported by UPMC, providing primary and advanced specialty care throughout all of central Pennsylvania and beyond. A list of providers in the area can be found at upmc.com/findadoc.
Welcome back to The Spark. I'm Anaya Falcon. Today, we're speaking with members of a dance school in Harrisburg that will be performing on the world stage at the Carnegie Hall in New York, which is known as one of the most famous and finest venues in the United States for artists and audiences. Richicha Nambiard, founder and artistic director for the Risika School of Dance, and Anushka Nambiar, senior student and teaching assistant at the Risika School of Dance, join us to tell us about their school, how they received the opportunity of a lifetime to perform at the Carnegie Hall, and the challenges dancers face with different styles of dance. Richicha and Anushka, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having us here.
So, Richicha, tell me a little bit about your childhood and how you gained a passion for dance.
So I was born in India, and I come from a family of artists. My mother used to play the veena, which is a stringed instrument, and I also have cousins and aunts who are Bharatanatyam dancers. So I grew up in a family watching this dance style and, you know, even going to some of their classes. So that's how it all started for me, and then I was enrolled in dance classes at the age of around 5.
You mentioned the dance style, Bharatanatyam. What is that dance style all about?
So Bharatanatyam is a South Indian classical dance style, and it's almost around 2,000 to 3,000 years old, making it one of the most oldest dance styles to be practiced in our current period of time. This style is very well known and is practiced worldwide, and that's what makes it very special.
Anushka, you are Richita's daughter, but you had a very different upbringing as you were born in the United States. So tell me a little bit about your childhood and how you gained a passion for dance.
Sure. So I've always been exposed to it from a very young age because of my mother. There are videos of me learning how to crawl with videos of my mom dancing on the television. So I've definitely seen her performances, and that inspired me to start learning at age 5 as well.
So, Richicha, how did the Risika School of Dance come about?
Yeah, so I moved to this country in 2001, and I always knew that Bharatanatyam is my passion, and I wanted to keep it going. And so when I had Anushka, and then later down the road, I have another daughter, Priyanka, as well, I decided that, you know, I was going to stay home and take care of them when they were younger. And that's when, you know, I was delving more into practicing my own dance and practicing some of the older dance numbers, and I decided that this is what I really want to do, and that's how the school was born. And now we are 15 years in, so this is our 15th year for the Risika School of Dance.
And a great year, as you'll be performing at the Carnegie Hall this year as well. So what do you teach at the Risika School of Dance?
So we specialize in Bharatanatyam, that is the style that's being taught, a South Indian classical dance form that is originally from the land of India. And we have multiple batches, starting right from beginner Bharatanatyam dance classes to intermediate, and then, of course, advanced. And we also have adults who like to learn.
Anushka, I know you teach some of the younger people at the Risika School of Dance. So tell me a little bit about your experience as a teaching assistant.
Sure. So I like to work with the younger students on practicing things like their expressions and hand gestures, and practice some of the storytelling elements because that's such a huge part of the dance form.
So we know that people of all ages can be a part of the Risika School of Dance, as we just mentioned, but can people from all backgrounds and ethnicities learn this dance style, Richicha?
Definitely, you know, anyone can learn this dance style. And the unique feature of this dance style is it's a storytelling form. And so I think using facial expressions and hand gestures, you know, is a way of telling a story. And so anyone from any background is more than welcome to try the style.
And how difficult is it to kind of jump into this dance style, even at an older age?
We definitely recommend that adults joining the dance school have some kind of dance experience. And it doesn't have to be Indian classical. They probably, you know, would have learned ballet or tap or any other form of style, you know, growing up. And I just feel it just gives them an edge when they come back to trying the style that, you know, they already have dance running in their body and they can find it easier to adapt to the style.
Ruchita, your school just received the opportunity of a lifetime to perform at the Carnegie Hall on the world stage. So what was your reaction when you found out you were going to receive this opportunity and how did it come about?
Yeah, it's a very thrilling moment for the dance school and for all of us involved in this project. So this was offered to us last fall. The company curating this performance is Three Aksha, which is based out of Philly. And they offered us this opportunity to be a part of the All Indian Showcase, which is on July 2nd at Carnegie Hall. And we could not have been more excited. We are one of the only dance schools from Central PA to be, you know, invited to perform. So definitely exciting, but also humbling at the same time, you know, having realized that, you know, here we are, you know, we work very hard. And now having been given this opportunity, I almost feel it is a blessing from God. So definitely very, very happy and very excited to showcase this piece that we are practicing really hard.
Yeah. Anushka, I know you are only 20 years old, so how does it feel to know that you're going to be performing on such a large platform at a young age?
It's such an honor. We were just a small dance school from Central PA, so to be dancing on one of the biggest stages in the world is an incredible experience. And we do work really hard, like my mom said. Balancing college and coming home for some of the practices has been a challenging experience, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
I also just want to mention that we have adults in this performance, you know, who are full-time physicians, and we have one of them traveling from Pittsburgh for the practice session. So that kind of shows the commitment that they provide, you know, and how much they value this performance.
About how many people are involved in the Rasika School of Dance, and is it like a family?
It definitely is a family. Well, we have 16 of us in this current project for Carnegie Hall, but the entire dance school, we have around 50 plus students, and we are growing. So we participate in many events across the community, and we like to showcase our art form at different venues. So yeah.
Ruchita, what will this opportunity mean for your school and students? And what level of expertise are you preparing to perform on?
Mm-hmm. I think it's every artist's dream to be on the world stage. And for me, that dream is soon going to be coming true. So I'm very honored and very humbled. And I believe that my guru's blessings are involved, in this coming true.
Yeah. And when you say your guru, what do you mean by that?
Mm-hmm. So we learn this style is passed down from a guru or a teacher. A guru is a teacher who, you know, teaches this style of dance. And I have two gurus. The first guru is from whom I've learned my basic adavus and my basic steps. And she is in Pune. She's even currently dancing and she's over 75 years old. I then moved to Chennai where I continued my training in Abhinayam or expression in Bharatanatyam. And unfortunately, my guru from Chennai has passed away a couple of years ago, but I still keep her in mind. I keep both my gurus in mind before every performance and every opportunity.
I'm sorry to hear that. Bharatanatyam, you talked a little bit about the style, but talk to me a little bit about the significance of the dancer's attire, the facial expressions and makeup.
A very traditional style from the temples of southern India. That's where the style was born. And so you will see that the facial makeup is very elaborate and very dramatic. And the reason why is because these expressions are so bold. And we want even the audience members sitting in the last row to be able to, see these expressions loud and clear. And so you will see dramatic eye makeup, lipstick and, a lot of the facial elements are very bold. You'll also see temple jewelry, which is very typical for this dance style. We have the head jewelry, which is temple jewelry, and we also have earrings and the necklaces, which are very traditional coming from that southern region of India. And also the costumes are bright. There's always some form of gold, which is woven into these fabrics. And these costumes are created from saris, which is the, traditional outfit from India. And now we have, different types of costumes being created. Back in the day when I did my Arangetram, which was at the age of 12, and, I had to literally tie a sari, and get ready for the performance. But now you have costumes which are created in different styles. We have dhoti costumes, we have skirts, pajamas, different types of costumes, which makes it much easier for the dancer to get ready.
And I had the wonderful opportunity of wearing a sari when we were filming for our video interview.
Yep.
And it's very difficult to dance in that particular attire.
Right. Yeah. And so literally while draping the sari, we kind of sit in a aramandi, which is the basic position of Bharatanatyam, while tying the sari so that we have that give when the dancer is, performing, with your footsteps and your footwork.
Well, kudos to you and all the dancers. Ruchita, I know that there is a specific song that you'll be performing with at the Carnegie Hall. So let's take a listen to one of those songs. It's called the Kalinga Narthana Tiliana, and it's curated by Praveen Rao and Bangalore, India. We just listened to a song that the Rasika School of Dance will dance to during the upcoming Carnegie Hall performance that they will have in the next coming months. Kalinga Narthana Tilana, by Praveen Rao and Bangalore, India. So, Ruchita, what does this song mean and what will the dance moves mean that go along with it?
So the Kalinga Nartana Tilana. So this is a technical piece in Bharatanatyam. The music is curated by Praveen Rao from Bangalore, India. And the Tilana actually describes one of the very popular deities in Hindu mythology, which is Lord Krishna, dancing on the hood of the serpent Kalinga. So the story goes that, this serpent was troublesome and, was bothering some of the villagers, and they go and ask Krishna, for help. And so Krishna decides to teach this snake a lesson and, decides to dance. And the moves represent Krishna dancing on the hood. So we have a lot of movements, the choreography showcasing some of the very typical snake movements, and also Krishna in all his different forms.
And I did see a picture of a performer kind of with multiple arms behind her. Is that significant of the snake.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the snake comes out with, you know, hoods and, you know, tries to kind of get up on Krishna. But then Krishna, you know, has this power of, you know, bringing that snake under control and dancing, you know, very confidently on its hood. So it's a play. It's Krishna's play on the serpent's hood that makes this tilana a beautiful tilana to choreograph. Actually, this was one of the tilanas that I wanted to choreograph for a very long time, and I'm so happy that it's coming this way, where, you know, we get to now perform this choreography at Carnegie Hall.
In a previous conversation, we kind of talked about the Lord of Dance. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the significance of the Lord of Dance for this particular dance style?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Lord Nataraja, or Lord Shiva, as he's also known, is considered the Lord of Dance and the one to whom, you know, we pray before we start Bharatanatyam. So Lord Nataraja is a part of, you know, every Bharatanatyam dance studio. So if you walk into any studio in India that is teaching the style, you will definitely see Lord Nataraja's idol or statue or some form, you know, in the studio. So he is all pervasive, and, you know, he is considered as the ruler of the universe and the one who wears the cosmos on his body, because as a Bharatanatyam dancer, you know, we always showcase Lord Nataraja with the Ganga flowing from his head and with the third eye on his forehead and the tiger skin around his waist and these snake garlands and snake bracelets. And so he is brought out in all his glory whenever he's showcased in any Bharatanatyam dance piece. And so Nataraja is the most important and the most significant part of Bharatanatyam.
So what are the differences between the different styles of dance in India and the spiritual significance that each of them may have?
Mm-hmm. So India is a very diverse country with, you know, so much culture and tradition. So we have different styles of dance all over India. This style is only one of the classical styles, you know, that comes from the southern part of the region, but we have Kathak, which is another beautiful dance style, which is a classical dance style that comes from the northern region of the country. And then we have other styles like Mohiniyattam from Kerala or Manipuri, or we have other many folk styles like Garba and Bhangra, and so a lot of different styles, you know, that come from this region, which are classical and folk styles. But I'm sure a lot of your listeners are very aware of Bollywood, which is a very different style. So the classical styles are always, you know, significant of, you know, gods or goddesses, you know, when you perform a particular piece that comes from this style, we talk about the gods and goddesses. Whereas Bollywood is more of like a street style, you know, where there is no significance, you know, or any attachment to a particular god or goddess, but it is just dancing to the music.
And they're equally as accepted.
Oh, yeah.
In India.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Bollywood is a huge style. I'm not sure if anybody in the world has not heard of it, because it's such a big style.
Yes.
And, yeah. And
so talk to me a little bit about the benefits of doing Bharatanatyam and also dancing in general.
Mm-hmm. For me, personally, Bharatanatyam keeps me grounded. This is my passion. And it is also... because it's such a religious style, right? Every time I dance, I feel I pray. So for me, that's how deep the style is. So it's not just a dance style. For me, it's more of being connected to my roots and connected to my, you know, traditions and culture and from where I come, from where I was born. And so this style is literally ingrained in my body.
Anushka, can you talk to me a little bit about the challenges that people may face when doing this dance style, and some examples of that.
Sure. So it's a very disciplined dance style. You start very young. It's very strict normally. I found that one of the challenges I faced when I was practicing and I still practice is perfectionism. You always want to do everything right, not just for yourself, but also for your teacher. It's been difficult to have my mother also be my guru, but
agreed.
Sometimes, most of the time, I don't want to let her down, but also myself down. So perfectionism can be very difficult within the dance style.
Rachita, can you talk to me a little bit about the difference between what you see in India versus the United States?
Yeah. Of course, I grew up very differently. I grew up more orthodox, and that's how I was raised. And so learning this dance style back home and teaching it here is very different. Back home, you know, we were required to wear the dance sari, Anaya, which you kind of wore when you came home and we had the interview. So we were required, you know, to enter the dance class, you know, wearing the dance sari and wearing a bindi and wearing bangles and, you know, wearing a necklace around the neck and having our hair braided, you know, before we even walked into the dance hall. And my teacher would not let us in unless, you know, we were dressed appropriately. But here it's a little different. I understand that my students come from different activities because we are in a different age where, you know, we are running from one activity to another. So I can't be expected to follow the same, you know, traditions. Although I keep it rooted in the fundamentals, but you know, as long as they're wearing a kurti and pajamas, you know, it still works.
Yeah, and I know you also instill passion in them as well.
Definitely.
And make sure to let that shine. Mm-hmm. We will make sure to put some information on our article about your upcoming performances at the Gamut Theater and also at the Carnegie Hall.